Trevor Zamparelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
If you suffer from polycystic ovary syndrome, or you know someone who does, you will absolutely want to listen to our next guest. PCOS is extremely common. 1 in 10 women worldwide are affected by this syndrome, and it can be really, really tough. I know a few people who've been diagnosed with it. It's also the leading cause of infertility in women. And a new book explores how lifestyle changes and diet can work hand in hand with medical treatments to improve it. It's called Living PCOS Free. That's what it's called. How to regain your hormonal health with polycystic ovarian syndrome. And we're joined on the line now by one of the authors, nutritionist Rohini Bajekal. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jennifer. Thank you so much for having me.
It's great to have you on the show. So can you just explain what is PCOS and what are the symptoms?
So polycystic ovary syndrome, often known as PCOS, is the most common hormonal condition to affect women and people assigned female at birth. So it affects 1 in 10 women. And you've got, everyone is different. I always say people with PCOS are almost like snowflakes, but all so different. But there are some common symptoms. So irregular periods, signs of excess androgens. So things like excess hair growth, acne that persists past teenage years, excess weight gain, insulin resistance. And then there's a lot of lesser known symptoms like having sleeping problems or eating disorders and things like that, and also mood issues. So yeah, a wide range of symptoms that affect your reproductive system, your metabolic system, and of course your psychological symptoms as well.
Rohini, is there a cure for it?
So the short answer is no. But our book is really designed to give people living with the condition hope, because whilst it's not a curable condition, you can manage your symptoms and you can live PCOS free. You can get on top of your symptoms and you can get your periods back and you can manage the other symptoms that are associated with the condition that I've mentioned, like the acne, the weight gain, the tiredness, all of these things. So there is a lot of hope there.
Okay. You've had PCOS yourself. When did you first notice it?
Yes, I have. So that was actually what kind of informed our decision to write Living PCOS Free, because I wanted to share this knowledge with everyone. And I've been able to manage the condition using my mother, who's a senior consultant obstetrician and gynecologist. I was able to manage it using her help. But it really sort of struck me when I was at university. I was in my final year and I put it down to stress at the time, but I had all those classic symptoms, the acne, anxiety, the scalp hair loss as well. So I was losing a lot of hair and irregular periods. And I didn't really connect the dots until much later. And that's a big problem with PCOS, because 75% of people are living with this condition undiagnosed, which is why we wrote this book, to try and help people, because they might go and see a dermatologist for their skin, a dietitian for weight loss, a gynecologist for the other issues. So really, it's about connecting the dots and helping people. If you're listening and these symptoms sound familiar to you, then definitely go and get them checked out.
Is it easy to identify? Like if you go to a doctor, is it an easy thing to diagnose?
It's a diagnosis of exclusion. So you've got to rule out other conditions first. But if you've got irregular periods, it's really important to go and see your doctor. So you go and see your GP and they should be able to help. But it's a good idea to show them a sort of chart of your menstrual cycle. You should keep a track of your dates. And that way they can have a look at that. But there's actually diagnosable criteria. It's called the Rotterdam criteria. So in adults, there's slightly different criteria for teenagers, but it can be diagnosed in teenagers as well. That's often when it starts, you know, puberty. But there's three criteria. One is absent or irregular periods. The next one is those signs of excess androgens that I mentioned. So the acne, excess hair growth, things like that. And it can show up on blood tests as well. So your testosterone and things might be higher, but there are other blood tests to do. Okay. And then the last one is seeing polycystic ovaries on an ultrasound. So those extra follicles look like almost like a pearl necklace. They're not true ovarian cysts. Sometimes the name is a bit confusing actually, but you've got to have 2 out of 3 of those criteria. So it sounds complex, but we really break it down in Living PCOS Free and make it as easy for people to understand as possible, because it is a complex condition.
What's the story with the pill keeping symptoms relatively under control?
Yes, so we actually do a lot of myth busting around the contraceptive pill. And my mother has over 35 years of experience working in the NHS. So she brought that to the table with the latest scientific evidence. But the pill is a great way to manage some of the symptoms, such as the impact on skin and hair. But obviously, not everyone can take the pill. And if you're trying for a baby, then the pill isn't it's not something that you can go on. And there are other people who can't take it as well. So that's why, even if you're on the pill, making the lifestyle changes that we discuss in the book is important. Whether you're on medication or not, these are going to help you manage the condition. So the changes to nutrition and lifestyle, which really are key for this condition.
Okay. Let's talk about this then, the philosophy of the book and what it suggests for people with PCOS.
Yes, so I am a nutritionist and we're both certified in lifestyle medicine, my mother and I. And one thing that's really important to mention is that PCOS, in the national and international guidelines, the first line of treatment is making those healthy lifestyle changes. So we sort of think of it as a cousin of type 2 diabetes, where insulin resistance, which is kind of a precursor to pre-diabetes and things, is one of the main drivers for many people with PCOS, about 70% of people. So that's why making changes to actually manage your insulin resistance can really help. And that's why there's a few things that we focus on. There's six pillars of lifestyle. That's really what you need to remember. So one is having a predominantly plant-based diet. So bringing in as many whole plant foods as possible, like whole grains, beans, fruits and vegetables, nuts and seeds. And then regular exercise, so aiming for at least 150 minutes, ideally 300 minutes a week. So that's about an hour a day of moderate intensity exercise. Managing your stress, because as I mentioned, this is a stigmatized, highly stressful condition. So it could be having a walk with your friends or laughing and going to a comedy club or doing yoga, whatever works for you. And then avoiding tobacco and certainly minimizing alcohol, which doesn't have any health benefits. And managing, making sure that you've got good support as well, social support, so good friends and family, people who make you feel good. That's all really, really key. And then sleep is another really important pillar, that people with PCOS can also struggle with their sleep and have lots of sleep issues. And so there's six pillars, and that's, we delve into detail about how you can improve all of those pillars. And it's just about meeting someone where they're at, so it doesn't have to be perfect.
When you tried these things, and because I read that, you know, you had a, you know, in college you were partying, and then you were in London, you were working so hard in the big city, and then you went to India and you kind of start looking after your health a little bit and focusing more on eating better food and sleeping well. Did you see a dramatic change in your PCOS?
I saw a dramatic change, and it doesn't need to be as radical as moving country for people and moving environment.
Yeah, you don't have to go to India. We're not going to tell you to move to India, just to be clear. If you want to, go for it, but you don't have to.
Yeah, exactly. So even, you know, small steps make a huge difference. And that's why we say to people, it's just about adding things in. So if you're currently not having any fruit at all, maybe adding in one piece a day, and then adding in two the next week and so on, and building on that, or adding a handful of greens into your curry or stir fry, or swapping your chicken for tofu. So all of these things can really help. But I saw a dramatic change. I was able to really reduce my symptoms of acne, excess hair growth, managed to lose weight a little bit, which, you know, that often the big focus on PCOS is just weight or fertility. It's the number one cause of infertility, actually. But it's so much more than that. And that's why we say, rather than just striving for weight loss as the only goal, make health your goal. You want to live a long and healthy life and reduce the long-term risks of PCOS, like type 2 diabetes and heart disease, which is the number one killer of men and women in the UK. So that's why it's about making these changes early and empowering yourself with this knowledge.
I'm just going to read out, we're getting a lot of texts into 51552 already. I just want to read one out to you. It says, "Hi Jen, I went to the GP when I was 17 because I had very irregular periods. I expressed my concern for PCOS, however the doctor refused to diagnose me due to my weight and just recommended putting me on the pill and weight loss. I'm 26 now and I've only just gotten my diagnosis for PCOS 10 years after my initial appointment. My main advice for young girls and women is to push. If you think you have it and a doctor isn't listening to you or validating you, go to a different doctor. See somebody else, because I spent the ages of 17 to 25 trying to lose weight and wondering what was wrong with me. It only took one doctor to listen and validate me to get my diagnosis." Is that the case, would you say, for a lot of women?
That is heartbreaking. And there are so many stories like this and people who've reached out to us saying that the book has really, you know, given them that confidence. And we talk about advocating for yourself. It can be difficult when you go to the doctor. Sometimes your mind goes blank. It's not easy. And we even talk about medical gaslighting and even weight stigma in healthcare, because sometimes if you are living in a larger body, you're just told go and lose weight. And that's the, you know, that's the only thing you're told. But there's you're not really given the how. And it's really, really difficult. But I really feel for people who are struggling. Unfortunately, with a lot of women's health conditions, whether it's PCOS or endometriosis, it can take years to get the diagnosis.
Yeah.
That's why education is key, empowering ourselves and knowing that these symptoms, many of us are living with those, they're not normal, and you deserve to get the right help and treatment. So we've actually used a lot of patient case studies in the book. They're all composite, so the names and things have been changed, but for my mum's 35 years of clinical practice, to really bring to life the fact that these are different people, and PCOS can look different for everyone. It's such a complex condition.
Is it true men can even suffer from PCOS?
That is a great point. Yes. So there was a study by the Oxford Biobank, which looked at 175,000 men, and they found that men can also have the symptoms of PCOS. So it's not a condition that is only connected to the ovaries, as it's often boiled down to. And they can also struggle with things such as the insulin resistance and the hair loss and so on. So if there's a history of type 2 diabetes in your family, that's often a really good reason to go and get checked out. And you've got some of these symptoms, but it is surprisingly common. And as I mentioned, 3 out of 4 people don't know that they have it. And perhaps some of them might only find out when they are not able to conceive. But of course, it's a lot more than a fertility issue, as we point out in the book. And you deserve to get the right treatment and help as soon as possible.
Another text in says, "Hi, Jen, my niece has just been diagnosed with PCOS. She is 11. What advice would you give her being so young?" This texter says.
Oh, gosh, yes. So we actually covered this in the book. We have a whole chapter about adolescent PCOS.
Great.
And that can be really tricky, because obviously when you're a teenager, you're extra self-conscious and you're struggling with the symptoms of PCOS. And it is natural for periods to be a bit irregular for the first sort of year or so after they start in teenage years, but it shouldn't continue. So it's definitely important to go and get the right help. But we address that all in the book. That's why making changes as early as possible is helpful. It's really easy when you're a teenager to sort of end up eating more ultra processed food with your friends and drinking alcohol and things like that. So that's why just incorporating some of these simple changes, not dieting. We don't want to diet when you're a teenager, because you're growing. You want to be, looking after your body and your mind. And that's why we give really practical advice around that. And that's why even parents who've got children with PCOS or teenagers with PCOS will find this book really helpful.
Okay. Well, Rohini, thank you so much, first of all, for writing this book with your mother, and second of all, for coming on the show and telling us all about it. And I wish you the very, very best of luck with it, okay?
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Rohini.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye, bye, bye. And just to give it a mention again, the book is co-written with her mother, Dr. Neetu Bajekal. It's called Living PCOS Free, How to Regain Your Hormonal Health with Polycystic Ovarian Syndrome. Go and check it out. It is out now, and it would be very, very helpful to you or to anyone in your life who maybe is suffering with it.
Jennifer Zaffarelli.
Weekday morning from 9
on 2FM.